The Hawaii Farmers Union United marks its 10th year in the islands. It has 13 chapters across the state. It will mark the event with a convention next month celebrating Hawaii's agriculture. The pandemic is forcing the event to go virtual, but the economic crisis has put more emphasis on growing local and supporting our farmers in the quest to become more self-sufficient and to diversify our crops. Here's Maui regenerative farmer and union president Vincent Minna.
Just to give a 30,000-foot view, the farmers' share of the dollar is around 9 cents. And this is out of the National Farmers Union's statistics. Here locally, our budget, our state budget for agriculture is 0.4%, less than one-half of 1%. And what also goes under that budget is weights and measures, the gas stations. And so, you know, agriculture really isn't given the level of respect that it needs, especially when we consider this being paradise on earth. So, and another aspect of that is our system here does not see agriculture as a whole system that supports the islands because we rely heavily on a lot of imports. And so this pandemic has really raised a lot of awareness and a lot of attention around our agricultural systems, but not much in the way of having sit-downs with existing farmers, ranchers, and fishers to really discuss what would it look like if we were to have an agricultural system in place that would support the production of food at the level that we could be consistent and we could be supportive of a local economy that money stays within the economy and multiplies within the economy. So there's a number of things that make that up, and one of the things is having a resilient system, a system that a farmer can know that his soils will be in good shape, that he can go back in and plant again and not have the disease pressure and the pest pressure that comes with soils that have been overused. And the same thing goes for the ranchers, you know, wanting to be able to graze in pastures that are given a time to recharge and not debilitate the pasture's ability to support animals on that land. And then, of course, the fishers to have a kapu system in place, in a sense, you know, it's where their areas aren't overfished and they get to recharge.
You folks will be addressing some of these issues at the upcoming conference?
Yes, absolutely. You know, our organization, our mission is to create and advocate for local food systems, vibrant and prosperous agricultural communities through education, legislation, and cooperation. And so with that comes this whole focus in on recycling of nutrients back onto the land, the regenerative nature of soils, the importance of that regenerative nature of soils, and then also to look at our own gut microbiome of our bodies to see how best our food can support our well-being in having a healthy microbiome within our body and then having a healthy microbiology in the soil. So we have some experts lined up that are world-renowned. I mean, thankfully, to bring these folks in, what it would cost to pay to bring them in and all that is cost prohibitive. So thankfully, we're able to do this all virtually and bring these people together and then hold this space where anybody in the world could be able to log on and be part of it. Now, within our organization, we have a Maui County grant. We're a statewide organization. Actually, we're a chapter of the National Farmers Union, or a chartered chapter of the National Farmers Union. And within our four chapters here in Maui County, we were able to get funding to put together a farm apprentice mentoring program. So we're able to apprentice young people in a wonderful program that really gives them a whole comprehensive outlook on what it takes to be a farmer. And since Mahipono has bought the land from HCNS, they're offering community farmlands at a very inexpensive rate. $150 an acre per year for 2-acre plots. So literally our apprentices can get on 2 acres and create a niche market, a crop to make a living at farming with utilizing those resources.
What are you seeing out there? Is there anything that you're kind of excited about?
I say to people, you know, with all the CARES Act money and everything coming down and to help support farmers, and that's wonderful that, you know, we can pivot away from the hotels and restaurants and be able to service the local economy. My motto is that, you know, farmers aren't looking for a free lunch. We produce it. And yet at the same time, our consistency relies on our rhythm of our ability to be able to plant and plan ahead for our crops to be harvested and marketed and then have the new crops in, and to create that rhythm in a way that we're able to pay attention to the finer details associated with keeping a resilient and proactive system of growing food. So what I'm excited about is the attention that's been paid to local agriculture and having a critical look at systems and what we need. You know, the biggest enemy of the farmer is time and temperature. And so it also could be the biggest ally if we just pay attention to the ability to aggregate the food, the ability to ship it where it's needed. I have a farmer, a president in our Ka'u chapter. He said that he can grow broccoli year-round. Well, there's no place else in Hawaii that I'm hearing people being able to do that. So each island, each chapter that we have represents a region of agriculture. We have 13 chapters. And those regions are unique in their own special way. As you know, here in Hawaii, our microclimates and such are very unique from one area to another. And so we like to focus in on those unique features that that region represents, so we can then do our best to produce the food that will grow there and then be able to share it around the state so people throughout the state can have an ability to access these foods. So within our organization, we have several food hubs, one in Waianae, one in Kona, and we are, you know, actively involved in developing those. That's a statewide initiative to develop those hubs and to be able to get food out to the people here locally.
Is there any other crop, though, beside the broccoli that, you know, that you're jazzed about its prospects?
Oh, yeah, all the crops. I mean, Hawaii can grow such a diversity of food here. We have the ability to truly be the breadbasket in that respect. Not only can it grow a diversity of food, but an abundance of food and the vitality. It just needs, the soils have been depleted for a very long time with sugarcane and pineapple. When you're monocropping in the soil, you're asking for trouble, especially when you're using petrochemical inputs, because there's no focus on returning the biology to the soil. And the importance of the biology is that it makes the minerals available to the plant roots to take up. And picture this, Catherine. You know, if you're a fungal root in the soil, you're thinner, you're smaller than a plant root. Now, mineral elements are magnetized onto a colloid of soil, on a soil particle. They're magnetized to that soil particle. Now, they're stacked like pages of a book on top of each other. And when these fungal roots go out, they go out and they pull off. They get in between these pages, in a sense, these colloids. They get in between and they pull off the minerals off of those colloids, and they bring it back to the plant roots. Well, the plant roots are stationary. You know, the plants are stationary. They send the roots into the ground, but pretty much, you know, right around the root system there is where they're exuding through photosynthesis. When the sunlight is in relationship to the plant, that relationship sends down proteins and sugars through the plant roots, and it exudes those proteins and sugars into the soil. Well, that's what the fungal roots need to survive, is those proteins and sugars. So they go to the plant roots here. You know, we're going to give you the minerals you need, and the plant roots go, great, we'll give you the ice cream and cookies you want, you know, with the proteins and sugars. So there's a symbiosis that happens in the soil that's vital to a healthy soil system. And we've lost touch with the importance of making sure that that living component of the soil is there and cared for. It's called the rhizosphere. It's the top 7 inches of the soil where all aerobic bacteria live, all a bacteria that is air, oxygen-loving bacteria. And that rhizosphere when that's managed properly, plants will do their best. And when plants do their best, they're expressing themselves as a complete protein. And when they express themselves as a complete protein, bugs can't eat them, because bugs have only evolved to eat incomplete protein. So this is the magic of a healthy soil system.
It begins with good aina.
That's right. Aloha aina, malama aina. I mean, the Hawaiians were all about it. Aloha aina being, you know, love the land which feeds. It's a beautiful thing.
Is there anything new on the horizon with hemp? Because that was, you know, we've had the pilot projects and a lot of folks were hopeful that it would spur, you know, a whole new industry.
There are a number of pilot projects and licenses that have been happening here in Hawaii. I sit on the Board of Agriculture, and thankfully the governor gave Hawaii Farmers Union a seat on the board. And I sit with the Farm Bureau. There's another board member, Randy Cabral, the president of the Farm Bureau, and then the dean of CTAR and DLNR. And so it's a wonderful group of people. And we just addressed the hemp rules this past board meeting. And unfortunately, what's happening is the overregulation of farmers, especially the hemp industry, we're like more than 2 years behind the mainland right now, when Hawaii could be producing up to 3 crops of hemp a year. It's really a sad commentary. And there's so much regulation, and, you know, we're basically bobbing and weaving. You know, there was a hemp bill that passed, but we may see a lot of the existing hemp farmers not being able to exist within the rules there.
Regulation, then, is the barrier from getting that going faster?
Yeah, like, for instance, 500-foot buffer zone. Personally, I would like to grow hemp. I would like to have a niche business with hemp, but I would have to be on so much land that the growing of hemp is 500 feet, which is almost 2 football fields long, away from any existing house. The buffer zones for restricted-use pesticides is 100 feet. So here's a crop that could truly be a savior for the island, because it's not only a food crop with the seed. Hemp seed is very nutritious, but also medicinal with the CBDs component of it, and then also as a building material with hempcrete, which is amazing, because when you have a house built with hempcrete instead of drywall, when it's cold outside, it's warm inside. When it's warm outside, it's cool inside. It regulates temperature and mold and mildew resistant, and it's an amazing, amazing building component plant. And then on top of all that, I think it's like 22,000 uses, it has an ability to remediate the soil, the photo remediate the soil. In other words, the roots go down and they can pull heavy metals out of the soil. And
so it can help to do what we've just been talking about, heal the soil.
Absolutely. Absolutely, especially when you use it in a situation where you're mob grazing animals, and you can use it as an alley crop in between. And I mean, there's a number of different creative ways that we could go about using a lot of different crops here, especially, and the key is diversity, just like us as people. Yeah, when there's a diversity among people that work together collaboratively and cooperatively, we get stuff done. Well, it's the same thing in nature. Nature only wants to collaborate and cooperate with us.
Right. We'll have a healthier landscape.
Absolutely.
That was Vincent Minna, head of the Hawaii Farmers Union United, talking about the organization's 10th anniversary. For links to the upcoming conference, head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.